Today, we come to Mark chapter 4. For most of you who have attended church for a while, very familiar parable. But sometimes, familiar ones are those that I think we need to pay the most closest attention, because it's easy for us to think, heard that, I know that. And then it's easy to sort of overlook it and bypass it. And so do pray for your hearts as you hear this very familiar parable story that God would really capture our heart in a beautiful, wonderful way. Mark chapter 4, verse 1 through 20. This is the reading of God's word. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang out quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of the wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Thus ends the reading of God's word. You know, when we are soaked in something, people can tell pretty easily. Not long after we were married, as we were learning more about each other, one night when I came home, my wife asked me, "Have you been smoking?" She knows I spend my day doing ministry, but because I was reeking with the smell of cigarettes from all over my body, she could not overlook what was so obvious. I was soaked with cigarette smell because I spent hours at Denny's, sitting next to some people who were chain smokers. For some older people here, you'll remember, there was a time when smoking was allowed inside the restaurant. See, when we are soaked, we smell what covers us. My prayer for our message is that we'll be soaked with God's goodness today, so that we will be a fragrance of His goodness, and not a smell of my badness, as I say. Picture with me here now. The scene in verse 1, Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Our passage begins like this. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. As Jesus began to teach, what happened? People kept coming. And it became so large, we're told here, that Jesus got into a boat, sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. What a picture. Can you picture that? Jesus sitting on a boat, and the people sitting as close to the edge of the water as they could. Why? Trying to catch every word he taught. Can you imagine what this teaching moment would have looked like? I was imagining a little bit. Follow me. Nobody was distracted by the beautiful water and the picturesque landscape. Nobody was tempted to jump into the water for a swim. Nobody was troubled by the mass of humanity that were overcrowding there. Nobody cared if their sitting was uncomfortable or the situation was not ideal. Nobody cared for the things that were lacking by that lake. They were just happy, so happy that they could be one of the many people there to sit, to listen, to learn, and to taste what Jesus taught. All they cared about was to hear everything Jesus said, because it must have felt as if manna from heaven was raining on them with each drop of the words he spoke. This is the picture, the scenario, the environment that I pray for whenever we gather to study God's word, to be so immersed into God's word that nothing will distract us from learning and tasting God's truth. Wouldn't you love to sit on that lake shore to drink from God's living fountain of truth? To me, one of the greatest and best blessings of being a people of God is that we are able to taste God's goodness in His Word. To me, that's one of the greatest joy of being a Christian, that I get to taste God's goodness. Prepare for me every day from this. Oh, to sit. Oh, man, there was a time, I must confess. It was when I was in college, when this was my sleeping pill. Oh, man, I had this habit when I was in college. Before I went to sleep, I would open my Bible, and within less than 10 minutes, I would fall asleep. So I used this as a sleeping pill. I did. Every night I would read it so I could go to sleep. But now, every morning, I can't get enough. I spend hours and hours drinking, tasting, savoring God's word. Is that your joy? Because you see, once you start savoring God's, the goodness of God's word and God's truth, there's no way we will remain the same. When God's word comes, it captures us. And you know what happens? It transforms our minds, our perspective, our attitude. It really does. So if you want to see changes, real, powerful, radical, incredible, life-transforming changes, folks, don't get your inspiration other places. Soak in God's word, and it will do that for you. So let me take you into the word today. In verse 3, Jesus told the people, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, we are told. From there, Jesus spoke about the sower scattering the seed on the four soils. But before we touch on the four soils, let me first highlight how God does math. God's math. Let me explain. As you know, the first three soils could not really produce anything good. Actually, the second and the third soil did produce good temporarily, and it was good while it lasted, but they were short-lived and eventually died. So three out of the four soils failed. What's the percentage there? 75% failure, isn't it? That's not a good return, is it? 75% failure doesn't sound very promising, does it? Eventually, only one of the four soils produced good. But did you notice how much good it produced? If all the four soils doubled their production, then the four would have resulted in eight fruits, right? Or twofold. But did you notice? The good the fourth soil produced was not double. We are told it multiplied 30, 60, 100-fold. In fact, this one good soil produced so much more than if all the four soils would have been good and doubled their fruit. Are you following the math here? Let me take you another place to show you God's math, how unconventional that is. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 and 7. So much should be said about this verse, but I'm just going to focus on the math. So follow here with me. And he, God, passed in front of Moses. Not quietly, he says, proclaiming. What does God proclaim about himself? He says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. Oh, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Follow me here. The punishment God inflicts on the sin of the people goes as far as to the third and fourth generation, three and four times. Now, some people will say, that's so unfair that children will suffer for the sins of one's parents, right? Or even grandparents. That seems much until we see the other side. When we look at the goodness God gives to his people, it doesn't stop on the third and fourth generation, but it says it goes as far as to how much? Thousands of generations. So as you can see, the punishment for sin is much shorter, but the goodness God showers his people keeps running to the thousands of generations. Oh, how unfair of math is that, isn't it? And I thought from that principle, I thought how great it will be if God's people, if you and I, would also learn God's math. Sadly, we have a long memory on the sins of others against us, don't we? Isn't it depressing that we can remember our hurt for such a long time? But when it comes to remembering God's blessing, we forget too quickly. Let's pray earnestly for God's grace to bless us to have a short memory of our hurt while remembering the good to the thousands of generations. That's what we want, don't we? To have a short memory of the hurt and to have a long memory remembering the blessings we have received. Not the other way around. Sadly, isn't that true? We forget too quickly the blessings and hold on to the hurt for a long time. Some of you, or I should say me, I still remember the hurt I received from some people years and years ago. Oh man, I wish I could let go. But those I hold on to, and the blessings that they gave, it's like, did that even happen? Oh, it's got to be the other way around, right? Brothers and sisters, pray for that, that you will have, that we will have short memory of our hurt, long memory of God's blessing. In fact, before I continue with my message, let me offer a short prayer for us. Heavenly Father, for too many of us, Lord, we have a long memory and it hurts, hurts what others have done and said. Oh Lord, will you bless us with your wrath as you will punish sin shortly, but you will bless us greatly. Lord, that's what we want, that our hurt will be a short memory and your blessing a long, long time to remember and to really, Lord, hold on to. Let that be true for each one of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, in our passage here in verses 10 through 20, Jesus takes the time to explain this parable to his disciples because they don't understand. So they came to Jesus and asked them to please explain. And you know, this is one of the very few places where Jesus gives a parable and then immediately he explains what the parable was. Usually just gives it to you and leaves it at that for you to understand. But he takes the time to not only give it and then now he repeats it to explain it. And I was just looking and meditating on this passage and I thought, oh my God, our God is so patient, isn't he? Some of us don't like it when our spouse or other people will ask us again the same thing. Are you dumb? Are you that shallow? You know, we may not say it out loud, but sometimes we feel like that. How many times do I have to repeat it? Oh, I want you to see, even when you come to our God for the nth time, he is what? Patient. He has no trouble, once again, explaining, teaching, blessing us. Our God is really, really gracious. And that's what we want to be, don't we? But here, he takes the time to explain. So let me take you through the four soils, okay? The first soil type of people are like people whose seed fell, he says in verse 15, along the path. They have a problem. Because as soon as they hear it, as soon as they hear God's word, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. In other words, instead of retaining God's word, they lose it to the devil. Instead of keeping God's word, Adam and Eve listened to the devil's temptation. Instead of following God's word, David followed and indulged in the sight of Bathsheba bathing. Instead of retaining God's word in us, many Christians forget what they've heard even as they're driving back home from church, don't they? Do you know usually why that happens? Why? You see, many people hear the sermon for an insight into their lives. And if they don't hear anything inspiring, then they usually have a short memory. Did you know God's word, the sermon, are not simply for inspiration? I mean, it's great when there is, but it is meant for much more. Actually, the primary function of God's word in our lives is for what? For obedience. It means when God gives us his word, God's people should be listening and praying, Lord, please bless me to obey your word in my life. And if you are listening to obey, then did you know God's word will be near? God's word will be alive for us to live and to obey. Let's understand. Jesus says the devil wants to take away God's word from you. But if you are listening to obey, then let me assure you, you won't lose it so easily. If you think you are the first soil type of people, then please pray that you will love God's word to be true and reign over your life as you delight to obey his word. You understand? From moving from the first soil type of people in the path that the devil comes to take away God's word to a place of blessing, it takes a heart of obedience. When you and I delight to obey God's word, we won't lose it to the devil. Yeah, I was reflecting on these four types of soils, and so many Christians, I'm thinking, immediately after the sermon, after the worship, on the way home, what did I hear? So many forget. First soil. Second soil type of people are like seed sown on rocky places, verse 16 says. They actually love to hear the word and at once receive it with joy. The Bible studies and the good Christian books are something they like, usually. They love to hear insights to God's word and get excited learning them. As good as that is, they too have a problem because they have no root. Therefore, it lasts only a very short time. In fact, when persecutions or hardships or distractions or difficulty come, and those are hard, but not only then, even when feelings like, something doesn't feel right, or I don't feel like it today. When such feelings or thoughts invade, that's usually enough to make the person not want to worship our God that day or to read God's word. We are familiar with people who walk with Jesus only as long as everything is smooth sailing. When everything falls into place, when they can feel his love. But when trouble comes, when life gets messy, when discouragement and disappointment attack, when walking with Jesus actually seem more trouble than expected, then they will stop walking with the Lord temporarily again. We are taught here this happens because their foundation is not deep. So when the wind blows, the waves of trouble come crashing, then they want to jump ship. As we learn from Kirk Cousins, the wonderful quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, right? He taught us we don't simply want to be fans of Jesus, but we want to be his followers, even if it is costly to follow Jesus. Oh, how blessed it will be if all of us will really learn the problem of our lives is not the presence of trouble, but it is the absence of Christ in the midst of our trouble. So please remember, the problem is not the problem. The absence of Christ is the problem. Do you know that? So whenever you are facing difficulty and problems, I want you to know that problem is not your greatest problem. The problem is not the problem. The absence of Christ in the midst of that problem, that's our problem. And when you don't retain God's word, Christ would always feel like he's not present. Second soil type of people. The third soil type of people are like seed sown among thorns, verse 19 says. They hear the word, like it, love it, want to accept it, but the worries of this life. What about tomorrow? What about my security? What about this? What if, right? The worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth. All those rich people have it all. They have no problem. They have no worries. So we think. And the desires for other things. What happens? The worries, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things. What do? Jesus says, they come in. And when they come in, inside, what do? They choke the word, making it unfruitful. In other words, they love God, but truth be told, they love the things of the world a little more than God and his word. They want what the world is offering more. They want to enjoy the worldly ways. They value the worldly standards more than God's. They love success more than faithfulness. They are good with God as long as God does what they want. But when God doesn't, then their desire for God wanes and decreases. The question here is, what do you really like, my friends? Who do you really love? The prophet Elijah understood that this dilemma in the hearts of the people, which is why he challenged them to choose from the two. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, this is the great battle when Elijah, right, went against those 850. Oh, man, can you see this battle? Elijah is one. 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, 850 of them. One against 800. They were standing on their mount, Mount Carmel. And there they were having this contest. Who is the real God, Baal or God? How are they going to prove? You see, Baal was known as the God of the rain. So Elijah said, all right, you think Baal produces rain for you? Let's do that. Right? We'll put fire, and the God who is the real God will pour rain on the fire. If Baal is God, bring it. But if God is God, he will turn off the fire. So that was the contest, the battle. And then before he did this, he challenged the people. Who are the people? Israelites. Do you understand? He wasn't talking to Gentiles. He was talking to God's people who were wavering, who couldn't make the decision. And so he says this, Elijah went before the people, God's people, and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, what? Not just with lip service, follow him. On the other hand, if Baal is God, follow him. Isn't that what we do? If God is really God, we should follow him. But sometimes money is our God, so we follow money and success. We keep saying God is God, but yet sometimes we put ourselves before God. And so instead of following God, we follow ourselves. Oh, this battle that Elijah right now presented for the people. 10,000 of them right now in that mountain. It's real, given to you as well. But the following and the ending, the final sentence to that verse, really, really saddens me. Because what happens? If God is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. How do the people respond? And I think it is such a mirror to our culture, to ours, isn't it? Most of us, we hear this. What do we do? But the people said, nothing. Yeah, but I like this. Yeah, God is God, but I want my things. Yeah, God is really God. I know it here. But I like the treasures of the world. Yeah, God is God. He should be worshipped on Sunday. But no, I want a little more rest. This verse is about us. But the people said nothing. I want you to understand this nothing is not complete silence. It is a real shout for Baal. When they said nothing, they really meant Baal will follow you. With God, I ask you, who do you follow? Who do you love? I'm really sad today because this message is not only about you, but it's also about me. It's also about the church I see today here in America and in Korea, those two places I know most. And there are a lot of numbers, people coming to church. But when it is time to follow, most of us Christians say nothing. Because we understand, as Kirk Cousins taught us, to be a fan of Jesus, we applaud him. Well done. Good, good. Go on, run. But we don't want to follow because we know it hurts. We don't want to follow because we know there's a sacrifice. We don't want to follow because it takes really, really efforts. You have to change if you want to follow Jesus. We love the idea and the thought of following. But we don't want to put the price. And when the people said nothing, they simply were shouting for Baal. Again, I ask us, my friends, who do we like to follow, God or ourselves? My prayer is that we will follow the words of Jesus from Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. You know, when we say yours be done, that means you got to learn to say no to yourself. No to the way you want to do. When we say your will be done, it means I got to cut away some of the dumb things that we aren't doing. Not my will, but yours be done. There is one more soil I need to speak to you, and that's the false soil. The false soil type of people are like people whose seed are sown on good soil, we are told in verse 20. They hear God's word, and they won't let it drop. They accept it. They embrace it. They love it. And the result is phenomenal. God's word produced in their lives 30, 60, 100 times of God's goodness. Folks, I was trying to picture it. How do I explain this? And I thought, yeah, when a few drops of water are sprinkled on our head, we can barely feel it. But when a gallon is water poured over our heads, we are soaked, completely drenched, right? I don't know if you remember early this year, when we baptized Claire. Claire's mom, Marie, was shocked because she thought I was going to sprinkle a few drops of water over Claire's head. I scooped up the water and poured. The baby was not as shocked as mom. Marie's face just froze. She wanted to scream or do something, but she couldn't. I gave her the stern look. But folks, even a scoop of water shocks you. Imagine a gallon of water over your head will be soaked, completely drenched. Another, when we eat a spoonful of the most delicious food, we'll actually become hungrier because our taste buds just opened up and we'll be craving even more, right? But if we get to eat a 10-course meal of the most fabulous food, then we'll be so satisfied, so happy, won't we? You know, I watch this YouTube channel at times. Some of you may be familiar, some of you not. The Korean Englishman. There, he says, a young lady, a young British lady, made the comment after tasting for the first time the Korean army stew. This is what she said. At first, when it was presented, she thought, oh, yuck, beans? Spam? She said, this looks so undesirable, untasty. Until she tasted. You know what she said? She says, if I can have that stew every time I felt ill or cold from the weather, then all the problems of the world will be solved. All the problems of the world will be solved. And you should see her face when she said this. She was so elated, so satisfied. See, my brothers and sisters, our lives cannot remain the same when 100 times of God's goodness are poured to us. When God's goodness flows, it is like the floodgates of an irresistible grace opened up, which is why we will not remain the same. We will have to change into new clothes, our outlook, our perspective, our attitudes, our values. And therefore, our lives will change. Our deeds will change. And our words will be soaked in God's goodness. As we close this message, may I ask you, has that happened to you? Are you soaked in God's goodness? Are you changing after the goodness of Christ? Are you soaked in God's grace, causing you to be more gracious in your life? Are you soaked with God's forgiveness, transforming you to forgive others as Jesus has forgiven you? Are you soaked in God's love, moving you to love others as Jesus has loved his enemies? Are you soaked in God's servant heart, causing you to serve others as Christ did? You see, my friends, God does not want us to remain the same. So he did not sprinkle a few drops, but he poured 30, 60, 100-fold so that we will be completely soaked in his goodness. You know, the key to the Christian life and the Christian living is not to try to do as best as we can. For humanism, that's the best they can do. But for Christians, our lives is not about doing as best as we can. The key to our life in faith is to pray and believe that our God delights to pour 30, 60, 100-fold of his truth and grace to us so that we will be the good soil he delights. God really wants you to be the good soil producing 30, 60, 100-fold. And this happens only when we drink from the living fountain of Christ and his truth and grace. And what better places to drink from the fullness of Christ's truth and grace than in the preaching of the word, in our worship, and in the daily reading of God's truth every day in your private worship. May I remind us again, our transformation comes not when we try harder, but when we drink Christ and eat his word abundantly and deliciously by faith. The more we drink Christ, the more we'll be soaked in his goodness. May the fragrance of Christ in us truly overflow much to the people around us. In closing, if you're asking, what is the obedience from this sermon? It is for us to find ways to get soaked with God's goodness in and through God's word. Whenever you read God's word, let the goodness of God pour so that you'll be soaked in that goodness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are such a good God. Sometimes, Lord, your ways is a bit difficult to comprehend. Why will you give four soils when one is all you want? Why will you let us see 75% failure when all you want is one soil? But Lord, you show us the three ways that are displeasing to you that we often fall into. Lord, we hear the word, but Lord, we won't retain it. The devil comes and takes it away, and we are fine with that. Lord, sometimes we hear your word, we enjoy it, and yet, because we don't have the daily disciplines to build a firm foundation, we lose it. Lord, we hear the word, and sometimes we know it's really, really good, but then we see the glitter of the world, the treasures. And Lord, we fall in love with that, and so we lose it. Those are ways that we have lost it time and again, and you are showing us that's not the way to live. But if we wanted to produce 30, 60, 100-fold of your goodness, then Lord, we must hear the word, accept it, believe it, and obey it. Then, Lord, our lives will transform. Our hearts and our words will change. Because, Lord, when you have poured 100-fold, we will be soaked. And may your goodness, Lord, overflow from us, beginning with our family. Oh, Lord, will you bless? Will you bless your people here, Lord? Some of us can be patient with others, but so, so impatient with our own family. Help us to shut up for a while. Help us to have a little better self-control. Help us to lighten up our faces and our eyes so that when we speak with our family, just as Jesus will speak to us with love, may we learn to speak with love and joy. And let that, Lord, not only permeate throughout the family, but overflow to others around us, so that the goodness of God that we are soaked will easily and wonderfully overflow to the people around us. Thank you. Thank you so much for what you do. We praise you. We love you. And we lift all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.